Circuit. So this is the sort of Federal Circuit and Supreme Court year in review. I'm going to try to tread lightly on some topics that we will cover in more detail later in the conference and then cover a bunch of stuff that we would otherwise not find in the conference proceedings. Some of you have been around to it when I've done this before. Turns out that the Federal Circuit and the Supreme Court keep deciding cases every year. So there is, to cover those cases and keep up to date with them, in your reading materials, a 93-page single-spaced paper that summarizes the most important of those cases. I am going to talk about many, although not all of the cases in the 93-page paper. I'm going to talk about them mostly in order, so if you want to follow along, great. But if you don't want to follow along, that's also great. You can go find the cases and their summary descriptions whenever you want to take a look at them. Let me start with patentable subject matter. You're going to hear more about patentable subject matter in a couple of presentations later today and tomorrow, so let me just make a couple of thematic points. There are several cases in the paper decided this year that are of significance in patentable subject matter, as there have been for each of the last several years. But I do think one thing I want to emphasize is the cases that are not in the paper. If you look at the cases in this paper, as last year, you'll find a bunch of cases that uphold patents, and you'll find a bunch of cases that invalidate patents under patentable subject matter. But there's also a lot hiding under that. So in a recent academic paper, Paul Gugliuzza and I study the use of non-precedential opinions and Rule 36 opinions in 101 cases at the Federal Circuit. And we find that when the Federal Circuit upholds a patent under 101 since Alice, they essentially always do it in a precedential opinion.